Path of Night is an actual play Vampire the Masquerade podcast set in the classic world of darkness. We're all friends, we're here to have fun, but our story can include graphic violence, drug use, sexual content, and other mature themes. We've talked at our table about safety, comfort, and consent, both as players and storytellers. We know what to expect. We're all excited to be here, and we want you to feel the same, so listener discretion is advised. Now let's walk the Path of Night. Welcome to Path of Night. I'm Lex, your storyteller, and our tale is set in the world of darkness, a twisted reflection of 1999, where cities are choked by taller buildings, deeper shadows, and apathetic communities who are overrun by rampant crime. And beneath all of this, there is an insidious world where monsters prey on the mortal masses, using them as pawns in their secret wars. In the city of New Haven, Connecticut, it is vampires who hold court. New Haven is a Camarilla-controlled domain, ruled by a complacent prince and buried under the sway of cunning elders who vie for resources in an eternal struggle. Our story begins in a dark alley where we find a young woman confused, alone, and covered in blood. Everything kind of picks up with, like, noisy rain, like heavy, heavy, heavy rain. Mm-hmm. And you can feel what kind of feels like the sediment of an alley. It's kind of made up of, like, filth and dirt and sand, and it kind of clings to you. Mm. When you open your eyes and sit up some, you can see pretty clearly that you are, in fact, in an alleyway under the open sky where there is a bit of a downpour overhead. The first thing you feel is just this very, very lonely, lost sensation, like something's wrong. You know that feeling you get when you know you're about to get a call and maybe like something's happened to like a family member or something like that. Mm-hmm. But to find yourself experiencing that sensation and isn't completely sure why. But outside of the alley, everyone seems to be going about their business and having a pretty good time. Mm-hmm. So what will you do with your evening?
Well, I will stand up and brush the dirt off. Try to look down at what I'm wearing, but it doesn't remind me of anything. I don't even remember buying this shirt. I walk out of the alleyway. It feels like I might have gotten coffee at that place across the street before, but couldn't tell you when. I start walking down the street, trying to find something like that, anything like that. Places that trigger some sense of what's missing.
So you head out into the street. There is just this throng of people walking about at night who seem completely unaware of one another. A handful even, like, kind of bump shoulders with you. And at best, you gotta watch where you're going. The sediment from inside of the alley still kind of clings to you. It's in your hair. You feel filthy. But as you go, there are these purple lights overhead. They kind of shine with, like, that, like, a neon purple vibrant light. And it says Haven. Out in front, there are people dressed in ridiculous black and white striped clothing, and someone's got their hair kind of combed over to the side, and you can only really see one eye, and that eye is completely caked in black makeup. But there's something here that you want, and you find yourself kind of drawn to, like, this very sweet scent. Mm. And as you get in, it's like cheap perfume. Kind of cheap, like, guy body spray, the kind that, you know, they spray too much on, and, mm-hmm. and normally it would just kind of make you crinkle your nose, but right now there's just something about it, and you head in. Mm-hmm. Once inside, there is a number of people dancing, and there's just kind of this pulsating bass, and you can kind of feel it in the ground. It hits you. It's almost like a bit of a jarring experience. Between, like, that moment where you're outside and it's just kind of the sounds of people and cars and the usual sounds of the city. And then when you go in, it's just this very loud, pulsating music. You find that everyone's kind of looking at you, at least the people that are close enough to see you in this kind of very dark, smoky area. What do you do?
When I notice that people are looking at me oddly, I try to catch my reflection in something, but it's pretty dark in here and I'm not having a lot of success, so I guess I try to find the bathroom for a mirror.
And kind of wander towards the bathroom, and it isn't very long before you find a few total strangers kind of looking to, like, bump and grind and dance with you. And for a moment, You think you might, but no. You continue on. You head for the bathroom, and when you get there, there's a little bit of a line outside. While you're going, an individual leaves the bathroom, wiping off their face, then kind of give you like a little bit of a crooked smile. They have like bleach blonde hair and this coat that has like kind of like a slightly ridiculous collar that comes up to like the very bottoms of their earlobes. They make eye contact with you. Good for you.
I stare back at them, trying to place whether I know them or if I could have forgotten them, but I don't know what they're talking about.
There's something disconcerting about this person, monstrous. But he smiles, and at least in terms of body language, doesn't really give you any reason to feel uncomfortable. And before you know it, he's on his way. And the line to the bathroom has moved enough to let you kind of get in.
I walk in, I face the mirror.
So when you go to face the mirror, there's a handful of people that are already there. There's a young woman, very young, who seems to have a great deal of hairspray in her hair. And you can, it stinks. Mm. And she's kind of bent over by the sink, snorting God knows what. And that's when you get a look at yourself. And that your hair is matted and filthy and tears in your clothes. And you look sick. And that's when you start to kind of feel sick. But it's like a frustration, and it's like there's something else. You can't quite put your finger on it.
I try to look in the mirror for what if I collapsed or hit my head, maybe. What the hell could have happened?
You ponder these things and get a close look at yourself in the mirror, and you know this face. Mm. You know that you're you, but something's wrong. It's like you're not alone, like there's something hiding inside of you looking back at you through those eyes.
There's something in myself that I don't recognize right now.
Exactly. You feel a hand on your shoulder. You're leaning so close that you almost miss it. Hey, are you okay?
No.
Do you need anything? When you look back at her, she's pretty young. She probably shouldn't even be here. She's got to be 16, maybe 17. Certainly not old enough to be at a goth club like she is. And she kind of stares at you with those big blue baby blue eyes and seems completely worried about you and, for some reason, not her own safety at a place like this.
I wonder if I should ask her to take me to the hospital, or I check my pockets quickly to see if I've got maybe my ID on me or something like that, but I don't find anything, and something about I want to talk to her, maybe? Or I'm not sure what I want, but the way that she's looking at me and the way that I feel, there's something. Maybe she can help, or I don't know.
Honey, do you need a cab or something? Did something happen to you?
I think so. Could you help me call one?
Yes, I can. Here, you go ahead and make yourself comfortable. And she kind of heads over and she gets these paper towels, and you can hear her like clacking at the plastic container. And she gets out the paper towels and she rushes to you and starts helping you out. I'm going to make a call. Yeah. Okay, you just relax and everything's going to be okay. All right?
The clacking and everything seems so much louder than normal. I don't know why I'm hearing it so intensely. But I take the paper towel and I try to just lean by the counter, but...
You sit by the counter. And she kind of steps just a few feet away from you, turns away, and is dialing. And that's when the bathroom stalled, the door opens, and someone else comes out. They're wiping off their eyes. It looks like they're not having a great night themselves. And they stop to look at you. This woman, a bit older, unlike the last person I spoke to, probably just actually too old to be here, you know? Kind of out of place. What is this? She kind of looks up and down at you.
I'm sorry?
You, what happened here?
I think I need to go. I...
Then go. What? Oh, wait, what is in your hair?
I run my hand through my hair to try again to identify what it is, but just like everything else about me right now, I don't recognize it, and it just feels foreign and not a part of me.
Sweetie, you look like a train wreck. Why don't you come over here? And she kind of, honestly, she's a little pushy about it. Mm-hmm. She kind of gives it like a little shove off to the side. And she starts going through her bag looking for something. The other girl heads over. Hey, I made this call for you. Why don't we get going? And she kind of gives the older woman a little bit of a distrustful look. Is that okay?
Yeah, let's go. Thank you, miss, but I think you were right when you said that I should go, and she's got a cab for me.
Suit yourself, honey. And she kind of takes out her phone and she starts entering something in. She turns to get on the phone herself, and you kind of catch something like a tattoo on her neck. It doesn't seem to mean anything, and you're pretty sure it should be facing the other way, but it looks kind of something like a V with a circle kind of placed almost towards the center of it. A little unusual for a neck tattoo. But she starts yammering on like something incredibly important is going on, but everything seems to be some sort of a code. Your new friend, the younger woman that was assisting you, doesn't really seem to give you much time to wait. She's kind of already pulling at you.
She touches me and it doesn't feel right. There's something about the sensation where I don't recognize the way that I feel. I feel like she would... I follow her anyway.
She looks down at the point where your hands meet. You're so cold.
I don't think I'm feeling very well. I touch my own hand and there's not that familiar sense of warmth. It is so cold. That makes me feel even more separate, and something inside of me reacts to that difference. It feels inhuman.
Just as that thought comes to mind, this girl is almost drawn to whatever it is that's wrong with you. Maybe wanting to help, but maybe also a little bit curious. And she doubles down, making contact with your hand again and trying to warm you up, fully aware of how cold you are. And that's when you kind of catch the scent of her breath. You can feel whatever it was that was in you stir much more aggressively than it had before. And that's when you're certain there is something deeply wrong with you. And this hunger starts to very quickly build up. And then she pulls you along and you head through the throng of people that are out dancing and completely oblivious to whatever it is that you're going through. And eventually you make your way back outside and she kind of steps off to the side yet again by another alley. The cab should be here any minute. What's your name?
I look at her and she asks and I realize that I don't know the answer, but the rain, as it hits her hair, the warmth of her, I can smell her, and it smells really good.
It does, and you can feel whatever it is that's inside you give you just this final push to send you over the edge. And it's at this point that I need a little bit of a dice roll. I need you to make a self-control check to resist the urge to just jump on top of this unsuspecting victim and take whatever it is that's inside of you is demanding. Mm-hmm. Go ahead and roll, and I see. It's then that as this thing rattles inside of its cage and demands that you feed, this girl again looks right back up at you with her baby blue eyes. And she's like, oh, well, my name is... And that's when everything kind of goes dark. You lose control of yourself. You remember this whimper, this very, very helpless whimper coming from her. And you're in an alley again, but this time you're not alone. There's someone laying right next to you, already just as cold as you are. But unlike you, she doesn't move.
I try to brush her hair out of her face, but her eyes are closed, and she's so still. That same feeling, that feeling from before, the grit of the alleyway, except it's all stuck to me. I see red all over my hands, and I try to wipe it off. It doesn't seem to wipe off all that well.
No, it's right under your nails, and it doesn't seem like it's going away at all. And the more you struggle, the worse it gets. And then there's something about this girl. Something that wasn't there before. And you find yourself peering at it. Registering it, but something about it not quite clicking with you. And there are these marks along the side of her neck.
I touch my own neck to see if... Did the same thing happen to... No, the same thing didn't happen to me. My neck feels cold, but fine, but... Well, I look closer at her neck to see if... Yeah, it looks like...
And that's when you can hear the footfalls of boots behind you.
I turn fast. I don't know. The cops, maybe, or...
When you look up, you see... Please describe yourself.
See a medium height man, maybe about 5'10", 5'11", making heavy footfalls down the alley. Wearing a pair of worn Levi's, tan work boots, flannel shirt covered by an old beaten up leather jacket, unadorned with any kind of pins or anything like that, and shaggy, shoulder length brown hair.
What does he see?
As he rounds the corner into the alley, he sees a girl, about 17 or so. She's covered in her own blood. Her blonde hair has gone nearly red, as if she'd dyed it. She's been turned over, partially. It seems like someone has tried to brush the blood off her face. It leaves these finger marks by where someone tried to open her eyes. Next to her, another girl, just a couple years older, her hands covered in that same blood. She wears something simple, a black dress. It could have been nice, maybe, if it weren't covered in grit, blood, dirt. Her hair is a rat's nest. It's entirely full of the same sediment. You could only guess what has happened to make it look that messy. As you turn, she stands, looks at you with wide eyes, full confusion.
Johnny, there's a moment where you start thinking of other things about your life and the way that it reflects on the here and now, and it eats at you a little.
You see his jaw lock up, tensed with rage. The veins on his neck swell up. His brow knots with muscle that wasn't there. And in an instant, he is down on top of you. Grabs you by the jacket and slams you into the wall. Who the hell are you? What the hell is this?
I...
No answer? That girl didn't deserve this.
I don't... She...
What sect are you part of?
A sect? I don't understand. I don't...
You don't understand? You just killed this girl. This city doesn't appreciate shit like this.
Killed?
Yeah. What do you think happens when you drain them of blood?
Blood? I...
Johnny backs up for a moment. He lets you go. You see his eyes kind of widen and shake a little bit. Do you remember anything?
Her mouth opens as if she were going to answer, but...
He tenses up again and gets right in your face. What's your name?
Fuck!
Johnny spins around and slams the wall with such force, you see the masonry crack.
What the... What did you just do?
Shut up, you. He points a gnarly fist in your direction. He walks over to the girl on the ground, bends down, and starts kind of looking through her purse.
Inside of it, you can find an ID, a wallet. There's a cell phone there. As you kind of scroll through the phone, there's tons of friends.
I can't help but hover as you're looking through, and I only see bits of what you can see. I'm not stupid enough to get closer, but I can see some of the pictures, and...
As you lean in a little bit towards Johnny, he snaps up again with an unnatural speed and says, "Don't fucking move!"
I automatically take some steps back, but then I realize and I stand still.
The phone rings.
He makes a fist and crushes the phone that starts to ring. Drops it back into the purse. It seems easy, something casual, that he's able to just make it disappear.
I stare, partly in wonder, but mostly in horror. I have never seen that kind of strength.
You don't remember your name?
No.
Where were you last night?
Last night, I don't...
You were lying to me?
No, I'm not lying to you. I just don't remember.
He takes a deep breath, and suddenly he seems like out of a movie. His eyes snap to you, and they are far more blue than you remember. He looks gentle for a moment. You need to tell me the truth. What do you remember?
It's comforting to see this man act more human. I can't help but feel like maybe a bit safer. Like he would actually listen to me. I search my memory, and there's threads, bits and pieces, just the color of the walls or the sound that shoes make on tile, but the first thing that comes back, I think my name is Britta.
Britta.
That sounds right.
His nostrils flare, but he never breathes back in. A weird force of habit, it seems.
I find myself watching him for the rise and the fall of his chest, but I don't see it.
Now that he's calmed a little bit, he kind of looks you over, and you see his eyes begin to shake a little bit. His jaws tenses, his fists clench. He paces a bit, but he doesn't lash out like he did before. All right. Look, Britta. We're in a bad spot right now.
We?
But I'm gonna help you get through this. I'm sorry if I scared you. I need you to go stand at the front of the alleyway. Don't leave there. I'll be watching. I'm gonna deal with this really quick. He motions towards the girl on the ground.
Deal with this? What are you...
Trust me. It's gonna be better for everyone. Don't worry about it, kid.
But...
Don't worry about it. We'll talk about it later. Stand at the front of the alley. If you see anybody coming, just give a quick whistle. You can whistle, right? You remember that?
Yeah, I remember... I remember how to whistle.
All right.
Britta hesitates before turning, looking back at the body, seeing it as a body for the first time, registering that that was the truth of it, that this girl wasn't going to sit back up. And as that realization sinks in, she sees the blood on her own hands matching the blood in the girl's hair.
Go on.
She stares down, realizing that her shoes are missing. She takes those steps out to the edge of the alley to stand and to keep watch. She watches people pass by.
As you watch, it's got to be at least 20 minutes, and every now and again you can hear something behind you. Whatever he's doing, there's an occasional noise, but otherwise total silence from the alley.
I want to look back. I want to know. I did this, but I don't. If I look back, that makes this real, and I'm not willing to. So I do what he says, and I stare out, and I keep watch.
It's unusual the way people walk by an alley with a strange man who breaks bricks with his bare hands and you covered in filth without even a shrug. No one cares. And eventually, as all these people walk by, not caring, completely enamored with their own lives. A black SUV pulls up, and it is tinted and has the works and gives you that total drug dealer feeling.
I see it, and I turn immediately. A car's here, I...
Yep. Boot falls as Johnny comes back up the alleyway.
Back door to the truck opens up as the SUV, and an individual hops out, lighting up a cigarette.
Johnny does the same, looks at you. You smoke?
I don't remember if I...
Tonight's a hell of a night to start. My name's Johnny, by the way. He offers you a cigarette.
She takes one and mimics you as you light it, as you put it to your own mouth.
Damn it, Johnny. You can't be getting close to them. It's just gonna hurt more.
Shut your face.
Get her in the...
You know this the situation?
I know how it ends.
Yeah, but did you know that this, he points at Britta, was the situation?
I'm quiet, no. Listening.
There's another one, too, you know.
Is that one going to get up?
No.
You sure?
No, she's not getting up.
All right. We're going to have enough on our conscience tonight.
19. And this one doesn't know what the hell's going on with her.
Might be better that way.
As the two are discussing this, I stare at them, trying to keep track of the conversation, trying to make any of it make sense. Nothing matches up. I can't recognize any of it. And they talk about not getting attached. It sounds important, but as I'm trying to listen, trying to make sense, I just look down at my hands. They seem paler as well as colder. My hair has so much blood in it, you could barely even tell what color brown it used to be. I hold the cigarette with shaky hands. And...
Well, you kind of... Your hands almost shake too much to let yourself. And when you finally get the lighter to go, there is a terrible sensation of fear that comes from the spark. And then it passes.
I drop the lighter instinctually. It makes such a loud clatter on the ground of the bed of the SUV. I feel stupid about it, but...
Johnny reaches out. Shit, I forgot. I'm sorry, kid. You got a lot to learn. And look, this is going to be the worst night of your life, but...
Johnny, come on, man.
I told you. Look.
Yeah. Sorry.
This is the worst night of your life, but it's... Things are going to get better from here, all right?
Okay.
He gives you that stare again, and suddenly his eyes crystallize. And you want to trust him in this moment. And then it passes.
Brennan notices something kind of while you're sharing this moment. You have the guy... He's breathing. You know, he wears like baggy jeans and a jersey that's a few sizes too big and that really stupid backwards red Yankees baseball cap. But he's not like Johnny. Already you can kind of tell the difference. It's this being in the presence of a more dangerous predator and that man, even though you can see that gun that it's got tucked in his belt, that's prey.
Johnny?
Yeah, kid.
I can't see you breathing.
Yeah.
Wake up, the first thing you immediately sense is that it's probably a half hour or so before you normally would. You're alert. Something just drew your attention and your instincts are on runaway. And that's when it registers that you've been disturbed from your slumber because of a sound inside of the shed, something moving and falling off the wall.
Did my fisher cat not alert me to this?
It did not.
Okay.
As you take a look around the room, everything seems just fine. Mm-hmm. The door hasn't been disturbed. It doesn't look like there's been any attempts to breach the shed. And as you sit up, you notice that the shed is just a few temperatures out of place. It's a little colder than it should be right now. And it's supposed to be pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
That's when you start to feel the presence of someone else, something else. Scanning around this room a second time, there's a figure that is there that wasn't before. And before you is what looks like the emaciated remnants of a boy. One of its eyes are missing. The side of its face looks like it's been kind of chewed on. And some of the I say this with air quotes, flesh seems to have already decayed as though he's been dead for days.
Do I recognize this as a wraith?
Yes.
Okay.
The boy looks at you wide-eyed, confused, and scared, but somehow aware that you can see it too.
Where'd you wander in from?
I don't know.
No?
No.
What's your name?
Joey.
Joey?
Yeah. I need help.
I can see that. What you need help with?
There's something in the woods.
Can you show me?
Yeah.
Does he look physical enough that I can take his hand?
You're not sure. And when you reach out to test, he fades away. And you are alone again in the shed.
Okay.
It's early in the night. You know that this evening there's a bit of a get-together being held because it's in celebration of the new year. So all of the kindred are expected to attend, even those who are only nominally members of the Kemrala.
That's nice. I'm going to go look in the woods for what this kid needed.
Sounds good.
Put on boots, grab a steak. Not like the wooden steak, not the meat steak. And grab a gun.
You pocket the gun, You pocket the steak, strap on your boots, and you slip out of the shed.
Also, I grab a flannel shirt.
Now you're ready to go.
Now I'm battle ready.
Well, it isn't long before entering the woods that you start to see some of the trails that people usually jog in the afternoon or evenings.
Mm-hmm.
And you come upon a section that has police tape, yellow tape, lining the area. Whatever investigation that's happened here seems to have been resolved hours ago.
Do a quick look around, make sure nobody else is actually there.
Give me a perception plus alertness. The difficulty of this role, because it's nighttime and it's a bit dark out, is going to be difficulty 7.
I have one success.
Great. You take a look around and you hear the sounds of animals moving away frightened. And whatever happened out here, the animals of the forest of East Rock Park are still spooked.
How close are they coming to me?
They're not moving towards you.
Okay.
It seems so. It's like the area around where this crime scene happened is quiet. Like the animals moved away from it, and they have not come close since. But way off in the distance, you can still hear that the local raccoons, etc., are all kind of spooked by whatever it is that happened.
Wherever they are moving away from, I'm going to head toward.
Sounds good.
It sounds stupid.
give me a perception survival.
What's the difficulty?
6.
3 successes.
Great. So you move away from the crime scene itself. And you plod along the trail, and then you start to go off trail a bit.
Mm-hmm.
And as you go deeper and deeper into the forest, now it is completely silent. You can't hear anything at all aside from the noise of your footfalls. As you kind of dip under a fallen tree to kind of pass on towards your intended destination, you notice that there is a deep hole that's been dug into the ground, and there are wooden spikes inside of it. It's not covered. It looks like whatever happened, whatever the trap was intended for, it's already been tripped. And so it's pretty easy to see.
Is there anything caught in it?
When you look, you can see something in it, but it's difficult to make out exactly what.
Can I reasonably have a lighter?
I'll roll a d10. 4 and up, you have a lighter.
4.
Great. You check your pockets. Yeah. You can't quite remember which one it's in, and then you take out a lighter.
Just to see if I can see what's in there.
You light the lighter, and what you see is about the size of a dog, like a large dog. Can't be over 60 pounds. And the trap has done what it was meant to do. Whatever it is now it is now dead. But it seems to have no skin. It's some sort of beast that's covered in this very thick layer of mucus and fat. The thing that really kind of catches you off guard about it is that it has a human face.
Okay.
And it has human-like arms, however not all of the fingers are there. The joints don't quite line up right. There's something in there. It's got to be, it would probably be around 4 feet tall standing.
Is this about the size of the little boy that came to my shed?
No.
Okay. Hmm. Can I occult this to see if this is anything I have ever heard of?
Sure.
All right. Would it be intelligence or wits?
Intelligence.
Okay. 3 successes.
Great. With 3 successes, you know that there's a handful of things that can do this. One is with your knowledge of spirits, you know that some instances of possession can cause someone to have a very warped appearance. You also know that among the kindred, there is a clan called the Zemisi that is capable of manipulating flesh, and they can, if they wanted to, they could make something that's this grotesque. But usually they have to victimize someone in order to accomplish that end. Mm-hmm. That's when you begin to feel a cold hand gripping your pinky and ring finger.
Is it Joey?
It is Joey.
You know what happened here, little man?
That's the thing that was chasing me.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Did he do that to you?
No.
Okay.
No, that's not what it did to me.
What did it do to you?
He gives this very sheepish look as he seems to dread thinking back on it.
You ain't gotta tell me if you don't wanna.
He bit my face up and he hurt me. But first he chased me. And before he chased me, I was alone after dark. I was moving out.
Moving out of where?
My house.
With your family?
No.
Just on your own?
Yeah.
Striking out?
Yeah.
Like a strong, independent man?
Yeah. He seems, like, really unsure by the strong, independent man line. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, he kind of settles on it.
Why were you leaving?
My friend went away, and no one cared. And my mom, he kind of, like, drifts off, not really explaining his situation, but also inferring a great deal.
Well, do you know where you came from?
Mm-hmm.
Can you show me where you started and maybe where you ran through?
Yeah.
All right.
He tugs your hand along, and he...
I still keep a hand on the gun.
Yeah.
Hopefully the kid doesn't notice, but this would be a really opportune time for someone to jump me.
He does not seem to notice your hand on the gun.
Okay.
And he leads you outside the park, and outside of the park, he kind of walks around this, like, long, like, road that doesn't even really have a sidewalk and brings you to an entrance point of the park. And he's like, this is where I went. I was going to camp just for a few nights while I figured out where I was going to go from there. But so I went this way, and he kind of starts walking along holding your hand. And the kid actually seems to be pretty familiar with the park. Eventually, he leads you to the crime scene.
And he seems startled to see that there's now police tape all around the area that mm-hmm. presumably didn't have it when he was last there.
This is where you wound up?
It chased me. It ran on its arms and feet.
Yeah?
Yeah.
That's kind of gnarly.
Yeah. I tried to fight it, and I hit it.
Good job. It's okay. But sometimes...
I think I got hurt pretty bad.
I think you probably did too, buddy.
I want to go home.
We can see about finding you a place to stay. We can go and say goodbye, because you were leaving anyway, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, let's just keep that going, but we can go and see about saying goodbye to a place.
I didn't really say bye to my mom.
We can figure out how to say goodbye to your mom.
Water a bit at the mention of that.
We'll find a way to say goodbye to mom.
Okay. Right. He looks startled. Give me perception alertness.
What's the difficulty?
Six.
One success.
You can hear some of the twigs and like bits of snow kind of mush under these hands and feet as something very akin to a person crawls out from behind a set of trees through these holes in its face that aren't quite placed right. It sniffs around at the air, following its nose because it doesn't have eyes. It starts to make its way to the crime scene. It lays almost completely flat and slides and writhes underneath the tape and gets closer to where it looks like there are chalk marks depicting the shape of a young human. And it puts its face right up against the blood and this tongue that seems to have these fatty pustules that kind of like line the tongue. It starts to trace along the smeared dried blood, trying to kind of get a taste of it. It does not seem to have noticed you.
I look at the ghost boy, Joey, and put my finger to my lips to tell him to keep quiet.
The boy is visibly trembling at the sight of it.
Yeah, just, I kind of put up a hand, be calm. I don't actually say it because I don't want this thing to know me, but I kind of am giving him the impression of be calm, be quiet, let me handle this. I turn then, whip out the gun and take a shot at it.
Pull the gun. Roll initiative.
Miles is 6 foot tall, blonde hair, blue eyes, wearing glasses, and a very well-tailored business suit, and everything is in the proper place.
Hello. My name is Miles Davenport, and I'm sorry that we've had to meet in this kind of condition. So I guess we should start off with, who are you?
Who am I?
Yes. Who are you?
I'm Britta.
Britta what?
I can't remember.
You can't remember. So no. You're not entirely sure that you're even Britta.
I don't feel right. I don't remember anything. I don't know who I am right now. And this doesn't feel...
Your situation is unfortunate. There seems to be a problem. Someone has violated our traditions and has made you a kindred without the proper say-so.
Traditions? Kindred? What is any of this?
That's a lot to take in. But let's just say that he comes with a thirst for blood.
Blood?
Yes. If you're not aware, you're currently covered in either yours or somebody else's.
I don't remember. There's so much of it.
Right. So, I need you to tell me as much as possible, especially about the person that made you this way, to even get a shot of this circumstance becoming better for you.
Circumstance becoming better? What are you not saying?
It's grim. I'm going to lay it out for you. Your creation is breaking the law. The law of progeny.
Progeny? What's that?
The law of progeny is to be given to an individual. That means that they can sire, and this is given to them by the elders.
Elders? Sire? I've never heard of any law like this.
You've been thrust into a world that you do not understand and does not exist until you're basically here.
Doesn't exist?
Right.
What does that mean?
It means that we keep our existence hidden from those, from regular people, from normal people, from those that aren't kindred.
Kindred?
Yeah, there's another term for it, but we don't use it.
Why not?
Well, it's mainly because it's uncouth, I guess, is the main reason why we don't use it.
Uncouth?
Yes.
Why?
Let's hold off any questions for now. Let me just explain your circumstances. By this violation of law, not only is there punishment going to happen to the person that did this to you, but you will also be killed.
Killed?
Right. So we need as much detail as possible, and we may be able to find a way to salvage this situation.
Situation? You're saying that you're going to kill me?
Yes, that's the situation.
Look, I don't understand any of this, and I...
That's more unfortunate, and I do not like that we're persecuting a person that does not understand the laws they have violated, but that is neither here nor there.
Laws? Persecution? I've never heard of laws like this.
Well, to be fair, you don't really remember your full name, so that's not much to go by.
I don't think that even if I remembered my full name that I would understand this.
No. You probably would not.
Whatever this is.
That was unfair of me. But you interrupted again. Continuing forward. We're going to give you something to clean up. Gonna give you a few minutes to get it. See if you can remember anything of important detail. Anything at all. It might not even be about the person that did this to you. They might be able to salvage this situation somehow, if you prove useful in a different way.
The person who did this to me, she racks her brain. She leans back in her seat, staring off into the distance. It seems like there's an edge of a memory in the way that she cringes, but no answer comes out.
He'll watch for a few minutes, and then I'll get up and knock on the door. And like, we bring her some water and a change of clothes. This is not acceptable.
Okay, when you had just pulled out a gun on this thing.
I'm going to spend some blood to beef my stats, if that's acceptable.
I will say you have a round to prepare for combat before you roll into the fight.
Okay.
So what's your blood per round?
One.
So you can allocate one.
I'm going to beef my dex by
and
one.
And then we have the round of combat. Did you want to put blood anywhere there as well?
I will throw one more into stamina.
Okay.
All right. And initiative is dex plus wits.
And
plus,
then 1d10.
And then 1d10. Ugh.
Is going on a total of 7, you will go first.
Okay. Gonna attempt to pop it with the gun.
Bang, bang.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Give me dex plus firearms. You can spend a point of willpower for an automatic rate of success if you would like.
I'm going to do that. What is the rule with engaging in a skill that you do not have any skill in?
Plus one diff.
Okay. I have no firearms ability.
Yes.
Okay.
You need to have a nice chat with Johnny about that.
Yeah, probably need to figure that shit out.
He's a trucker. He knows how to do it, right?
Yep.
Not a Malkavian. That guy never fights.
Yep. And then an auto success, I'm spending a willpower for.
Oh.
4 successes.
Is that counting your willpower? I don't think it is.
It is not. So yes, an additional five successes.
You don't need Johnny to teach you a goddamn.
So why don't you have four dice carry over into damage?
Okay.
And then roll the base damage of your gun.
Alright. What is base firearm damage?
What kind of gun is it?
Pistol.
I believe that's five. Heavy pistol's five.
I think so.
So I'm rolling the four successes and then five for damage.
Five more dice, yep.
Ah, throwing it. That's a lot of zeros.
Yes, it is.
Seven successes.
Seven successes.
Mm-hmm.
You bang! You hit it square nearby its mouth, mm-hmm. right between the two slits it has mm-hmm. for a nose. And its body shivers in kind of a convulsive manner, and then it tips over and falls. Its tongue, that disgusting tongue, hangs out of its mouth, and you can hear it breathing shallowly.
It's not taking another action?
No.
Finishing it.
You walk over, you level the gun, and there's this wet spray of red on the ground behind its head, and then, like, a thicker fluid starts to slowly molasses its way out.
What does that smell like?
Like brain matter?
Mm. It smells like victory is what it smells like.
It smells kind of. Probably a little better than it did when you were human.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Is Joey still there?
You look around and Joey's gone again.
Okay. All right. Put the holster the gun again.
Your phone starts going off.
It's not a pager.
Well, actually, I think it is a pager.
What's the number?
You take a look. It looks like it's sheriff's office.
Like the actual sheriff's office or the vampire sheriff's office?
The mortal sheriff's office does not have your contact information.
That ideally. Is fair.
So it is the kindred sheriff.
All right. I'm going to kind of take a minute. They can fucking wait. I'm going to take a minute to look at this.
Sure.
Can I occult it?
Like, you did.
I did. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to get more information from being able to look at the insides.
So here's how this would work, right?
Okay.
So you can examine it and take time,
mm-hmm.
but taking time also means you're going to want to research it. So you're going to want to look for some sort of like a gold library you can go through.
Okay.
You're going to want to cross-examine this with other sources of information. And right. that's going to be an extended occult rule,
okay.
which we can get into. But for now, you can start by, you know, taking a look at this.
Yep. All right. If that's going to take more time than I think the sheriff is willing to endure from me, I'm going to go and call back and see what they want.
Okay.
Is there a payphone close by, or would I have to go home?
Oh, there's a payphone just outside the park, right around where the boy had actually led you in. There's like a bus stop and then some payphones.
Okay. I'm going to go to the payphone, 1-800-CALLATT, and the sheriff's number.
So when you call the number,
mm-hmm.
You recognize the voice of a kindred by the name of Jane. You know Jane to be the Bruja Whip, and she tends to do a lot of networking and assisting for Earl Weathers, the Bruja Sheriff. Hey, so we've got a little bit of an issue going on here. Are you around?
Yeah, I was helping a kid find his way home.
Is he home? Because we can use you.
I'm not quite sure if he's home.
Are there any other, like, mother hens you can maybe leave him with?
No.
Okay, so I'm just going to level with you. Someone violated one of the traditions. There might be some bloodshed. We need to start looking into who's the one responsible for it. Progeny got violated. So
I can come in, I guess.
Yeah, I'm peeking into another room right now. Johnny's looking a little emotional, so I kind of need maybe some kind of backup that's not going to freak out on me if things go bad.
All right. Well, speaking of not freaking out, there's this humanoid beastish creation here with no skin, and it looks like it was fucked up. Definitely killed this kid.
I understand almost none of that. Can you come by?
Yeah.
Great.
Click.
She hangs up.
Alright, guess I'm glad I grabbed the steak.
Beeper goes off again. Same number.
Calling back.
Hey, actually, that sounds really weird. Can you just make sure that's gone, though, before you come? Can you just bury it somewhere, like in a hole? You make holes? All right, great.
I go back to my house, get a hefty bag, scoop it in, tie it up in a knot. The smell
is pungent. But beyond that, you bag it up and... Yep.
I put it in my fridge.
It doesn't quite fit right into the fridge. You have to work at it.
Mm-hmm.
But eventually, you manage to put... Yeah, you crack some bones. Fits way easier that way. Mm-hmm. And then you fit the disgusting monster into your refrigerator and are again clear to go. Right. You turn to leave, startling you just a little bit, is Joey again. Hey, can you walk me home?
Yeah, we gotta make a stop first, though.
Okay.
But we'll get you there, okay?
Yeah, okay.
Just hang with me.
Okay.
All right?
Yeah.
You did a good job.
I didn't do anything.
Yeah, you did a good job. I don't know many kids your age who could stay quiet and do what needed to be done that long.
I don't know why you can, but, I don't know if anyone can hear me. I think I died.
I think you did too, buddy. Is that scary for you?
Yeah.
You don't need to be scared.
I don't feel good.
No?
No.
What do you feel like?
I keep hearing something.
Yeah?
It's telling me to be bad.
Don't be bad. Listen to me instead. You're a good boy. You know not to be bad.
Okay.
Okay. You're going to listen to me, right?
Yeah.
All right. Okay. You're going to make me proud, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Who are you?
Win,
okay. All right, let's go.
Yep. Okay. And you do a real good job walking with me. We'll find a way to get you to say goodbye to your mom.
What if I'm bad?
You're going to have to wait longer to say goodbye to mom.
Okay.
We'll do it quicker if you're good.
Okay.
Okay. Deal?
Yeah.
Let's go. And I let him hold on to my pinky and ring finger as we walk.
All right. You take his cold hand and you begin to walk. And by the time you pass through the door from the shed, he's gone again.
Yep.
So where do you go?
Going to the Elysium.
Great.
Or to visit the sheriff, because I don't need this bullshit.
Back at the Elysium. Britta, you've been alone in a windowless room. You hear a knock on the door, and Miles opens it and steps into the room.
I'm carrying a set of clothes for you. He puts the clothes down on the table. Put these on, and then I will fill you in on what's going to happen next. And I will leave and close the door.
Britta nods and looks to the clothes. They seem much fancier than she's used to. She doesn't know what to think of the circumstance, but she takes the clothes and she puts them on. At least they're clean, at least they're not soaked in blood. And she goes out to meet with Miles.
I adjust a few pieces of your clothes.
I stand still. I'm not sure if I've done something wrong.
I'm going to bring you on Elysium. I'm essentially going to be your chaperone until we're called before the prince.
What's Elysium?
A party of sorts, but there are rules. So for the most part, just stick by me. Don't say anything out of turn. We're going to keep you in neutral crowds anyways. Observe.
Observe for what?
How everyone else acts.
Okay.
You'll be called before the prince at some point, and then your case will be decided. I don't know if they're going to ask you questions, and I don't know exactly how this is going to go yet.
The prince, like, actual...
He's called the prince. You call him your grace. And think medieval. No sirs. Always your grace.
Everyone your grace?
Nope, just the prince.
Oh.
Everybody else, you can do sirs, whatever. Just... watch for other people's cues. That's the best way I can go about it without giving you introduction to every single person saying, use this particular suffix.
Britta nods, but she doesn't really seem to fully understand. She's searching for some meaning in all of this, but it's a wash.
We're mostly going to be around people that I know, and you've met some, Johnny. And we're going to just keep it easy. People might come and talk to you. We'll see what happens. We'll mostly try to dissuade them from that.
Why?
Because they don't need to be overly curious. So we don't need them to be talking.
Is there something that I shouldn't say?
I don't think there's much you can say based on everything else that we've talked about, but there can be some prickly people. And we do not need to start anything. Prickly. Especially right now. You're in a precarious position. And we do not need it to become more precarious.
You said something about the rules being broken.
Yes. Your creation was a violation of the rules. Therefore, you're a violation of the rules. And generally, the outcome was not a positive one for you.
I didn't mean to kill her.
That's actually not the biggest problem. Not the best way to go about it, but your existence is the bigger problem than the actual death that was caused.
Whatever this is, I don't remember what happened, but I don't think I could have asked for this.
It does not seem like it. And I don't think anyone is blaming you, and you should have been taught. And that's part of the thing. The person that created you should have been the one teaching you and bringing you through and telling you how to do this. And they should have been a while before you were actually even introduced into this court, where you would have had time to adjust. And unfortunately, we don't have that. So instead, you get to go around and be with us, and we will be as close to that as we can get. You're going to have to learn fast, and hopefully it will actually be useful.
Why would someone have done this to me?
Lots of reasons, and way too many to go through. Now, I'm going to ask you a question here, and it's going to be very... Do you think that you can handle this, or do you need help? I'm going to need you to be strong and on top of your game out there. And I know that you don't know a lot, but I need you to be able to flow and go with it. I can help, but you being willing will make that a lot easier.
So, all you're asking for now, right, is that I watch the people around me, that I try to learn how to mirror them.
Yes.
And that I stay quiet and don't speak unless spoken to?
That's essentially correct. And if you can remember anything, bring it to our attention as soon as it... Any of us at any time, but not... in the middle of somebody we are obviously making deference to. Do not interrupt them. Johnny, myself, maybe a couple others that we introduce to and be with, were fairly casual.
I can try.
If you can't, let me know. And I can do something to help. It's a little invasive, but it can be helpful.
Invasive?
Something you'll learn about at some point.
That seems to be the answer for most of my questions.
We don't have a lot of time right now, so I am giving you the Cliff Notes version.
There's a banging on the door.
I open the door.
Johnny, he smirks at Miles, talking the poor girl's ear off.
I don't even have enough time.
She's not a venture, you know. She's either going to survive this thing or she's not.
What's right, a venture?
I'm just trying to get her through this night without any major missteps.
You all right, kiddo?
I'm here.
Yeah, sure. Let's just get moving.
I was about to go out anyways.
Look, Miles is one of the good ones. Listen to what he has to say, but don't worry too much about the etiquette. No matter with some of these older types, doesn't matter what the hell you do, it's never going to be good enough.
I essentially just said follow our lead.
Still not going to be good enough.
Mm. Types like the prince?
Yeah, he's not the worst of them, though. Some of them, some of these kindred, they can get real old. And the older they get, the weirder they get. Very particular. You know what, maybe that's better left for another time. Come on, let's go.
Oh, all right.
You head off to the meeting location, and as you arrive, Jane is outside waiting for you. Hey, we should get in soon.
Okay.
So the girl seems pretty young. I don't know who did this, but we gotta deal with them.
Okay.
And
has the Scourge been notified?
The Scourge is aware. There's a little bit of a claim that Weathers is responsible for some sort of escalation. They think that this is the same thing that happened with a guy named Romeo about a year ago. It sounds like the prince might be buying into it, and that can be pretty bad for Weathers.
Okay, this all sounds like a very political thing, which, as you know, I don't really care about. What is it you are calling me in for?
Okay, so here's what's going on. Okay, Weathers, a pretty nice guy, I think, personally, not being biased, has stumbled upon a young lady who is probably going to be executed tonight. And we need to figure out who made this young lady into what she is. Because if we don't, we're going to end up having to execute some other little girl.
Okay.
So here, you know what? Johnny can explain. Come on in.
All right.
Upstairs in the building, Britta, Johnny, and Miles, you're headed back into the gathering. So the group of you step out of the room, and down the hall you can hear the sounds of conversation. You step out into this much larger open space where there seems to be about a dozen and a half or so individuals kind of lounging and having side conversations with each other. And that's when you notice that in this large, opulent room, there are these works of art. And one of these paintings, the subtle colors of it strike you in a way like colors have never touched you before. And I need you to make a self-control check, difficulty 6.
One success.
So the one success, you manage to resist the urge to be enraptured by this art for the duration of the entire scene. And as the two of you are walking out with her, she just kind of stops, eyes go wide, and she looks around the room as if to have received vision for the first time.
It's so beautiful.
Hey, you with us?
What?
Johnny gives her kind of a weird side glance.
Miles, that's when you notice something else altogether. Mm-hmm. All of the side conversations being held by people in beautiful outfits, with gorgeous makeup and hair done just the way, in the most up-to-date fashions that 1999 has to offer.
A lot of spaghetti straps.
And they all turn to look at her. Some of them whisper to each other, you know none of it's good. And that's when even the two of you kind of notice that you are the belle of the ball in all the worst ways.
Let's keep it moving.
I turn away from the painting as soon as I can get my attention away from it. The colors really are so beautiful, but everyone is staring, and I find myself just sticking close to Johnny.
Let's go meet up. Maybe Neil has some information.
Yeah, I asked him to go searching around. Hopefully he's got good news for me.
Yeah, that'd be really convenient.
You gotta stop doing that, man.
What?
Is that normal?
Appearing as if he has always been walking with the group, but you just managed to catch him out of the corner of your eye, is a man. He's got Neil has appearance too. He's reasonably plain looking guy, tall, a little thin, has this sort of lank, like dark hair curtain that comes about to his chin, like full-on 1990s Johnny Depp grease curtain.
I'm imagining somewhere between Johnny Depp and like Rivers Cuomo.
Grease curtain. That's very... That's
what's his name? Doesn't matter. He's wearing like a polyester like rayon bowling shirt and a pair of kind of loose Levi's silver tab carpenter jeans.
You just offend me by existing.
And a pair of just, you know, like just sneakers.
Reeboks.
Yeah, so that one's pretty, right? And he just kind of looks over and points at the one that you were just staring at.
Britta looks back, and for a moment she stares and sort of falls into it, but she pulls herself out again, and it's gorgeous.
Yeah, not
everything
too bad. Not really my thing. What were we talking about? Were you born today or yesterday?
I don't remember how old I am, but I don't think... What?
But when we were talking, you... We were talking, that's right, that's what I was doing.
Yeah.
And I was looking for newspapers.
No.
And also Shaw.
I don't want a boon from Shaw.
What's... I didn't say anything about boons.
What are boons?
Don't worry about it.
Their
but
debts.
Apropos of nothing, yeah, he wants a boon. Like I said, man, like we were talking about. Yeah.
You don't have anybody else that can,
with the kind of sway that you're looking for. Look around, man. Who are you?
There's a door that bangs open as it's aggressively hip checked. By a woman with stark white hair, wiping her hands on her very much secondhand and very, very old jeans. These seem to be men's jeans. This woman has an appearance of two. She is not what you would call ugly, but her appearance is not what is remarkable about her. She has bright white hair that is shaved off of both sides, leaving just a messy French braid down the middle. Her eyes are about the color of the color green of a seagull's eyes. Very light, very almost sickening, and she just doesn't fit with the rest of the crowd in a few different ways. There is a soaking wet flannel shirt that she is wearing. None of the rest of her clothes are wet beyond having dried her hands on her pants. She has a pair of what look to be secondhand Doc Martens with many, many miles on them. And she seems to be looking at her fingernails as though she's not quite sure they're clean enough. Remarkably, they may be the cleanest thing about her. Wynn comes out and sees the group. I cleaned them.
See? Is that... You want me to ask Wynn to get pulled with the prince? Or...
I'm asking you to actually use your resources and find something other than Shaw.
What's your problem with Shaw? He likes me. He's a good guy. He doesn't have any... You know, he's always friendly to me. And it's one thing. What, is it the Bruja thing?
Look, snakes are always friendly until they are not, all right? So...
That's not true. Snakes have never been friendly to Miles.
That's true. We have not had it a good friendly. But regardless...
That's not the fucking point here, man!
Well, no,
unfortunately, Shaw's the only one with capital.
Are you the new
Thank
girl?
Thank you. See? Oh, yeah.
Yes.
When this is a... I'm sorry, what was her name?
Britta.
What is your name? I'm sorry, that was rude.
Yeah.
What do you Britta. Recall that your name is? Okay.
Bronwyn. Call me Wynn.
Tell Wynn. Don't talk to me. That's fine. No, it's...
No, if you need a boon from someone, I can get a boon from someone, but they're not going to like it.
We're,
see? This is why...
We're in Elysium.
Let's
remind ourselves of this again.
Yeah. Everybody chill. Okay.
Look, I was happy in my shed, and then someone called and said, hey, get here, we need to do shit.
Yeah,
and not, I was doing shit, so I'm not altogether pleased to be here.
It's
what kind of shit were you doing?
Found, dead kid found me. Okay. I found the thing that killed dead
kid. Should we go out on the balcony or something?
That's up to you guys,
to
I'm fine.
Have like a chat here? Or...
Are that... you guys uncomfortable? Because we can go out on the balcony.
There's just sort of a general level, like
yeah,
a volume.
You are
of...
not.
Miles is clearly getting uncomfortable.
Yes, is could it? We either step off?
Yeah, let's out of the main area. Let's head out to the balcony. I could use a smoke anyways.
I want to look at this guy anyways.
The group of you walk out and open the door to the balcony. There's a pair of individuals that are actually whispering to one another. The first one is a young man of African American descent. He's got like a nice, very sharp fade and is wearing kind of a loose suit that has no tie. The shirt's kind of unbuttoned. You can kind of see the glint of like a silver chain just showing underneath it. He's got a big like kind of diamond stud in his left ear, and he is chatting with Johnny, Miles, the group you actually recognize this individual to be the young toreador named Romeo. The person he is speaking to is an older woman, just probably only, she looks maybe a decade older than Romeo himself. He's pretty young. He looks like he's fresh out of high school. You recognize her to be Elsa Linden, and she is dressed in gorgeous finery, probably the best dressed here. The two of them notice the group of you come out, and there's a curt nod from Romeo, who steps back inside, and Elsa gives the group of you a little bit of an awkward wave. She seems keenly aware of your situation. She actually leans in to win, not to draw attention to your situation, but the pistol should be kept outside.
Yeah, sure.
And then she excuses herself and heads on it.
A really good point, it's Elysium. You might want to. Well, just
I
toss
came
it on
right
the
over.
Edge.
Do not.
Johnny puts a hand out. I'll take it to the office.
Thank you.
You got it.
Well, now you're carrying a gun.
Yeah, but I'm one of the bully boys.
All right, fair enough. Yeah, no, that's fair. That's,
make sure I get it back though. It was my dad's.
Got it.
Oh, okay. Well, then if it's sentimental, don't throw it.
Neil, you notice that it's a little cloudy overhead, and just now you can see snow. Very gently starting to come down.
Well, I can still make it work.
After stowing the handgun in his leather jacket, he retrieves a pack of Marlboro Reds, pulls one out, takes out a Zippo.
She's new. Watch that.
Right. Sorry about that. This is the second time tonight.
Is that your preferred brand? It's not the ones that I was carrying? Is it?
No.
Okay. Neil pulls out like a little notebook from his back pocket, and you can see him write American Spirit and then cross it off. And puts his notepad back in his back pocket.
I think
pocket.
It was Virginia Slims, actually.
Was it Virginia Slims?
Yeah.
He writes Virginia Slims, right, scratches it off, and then puts it in his back pocket.
Johnny turns and makes sure to light the Zippo out of view of Britta, kind of with his head turned into his jacket.
So, Right.
So Shaw's the only one that has it. I was fairly sure of that myself.
The only one, but he's the only one that we could ask something this big of and have him listen and, you know, have him...
Do you know what he wants?
Look, maybe we should clue you into a little bit here.
Okay.
I know you're getting all kinds of things just thrown at you tonight. Talk of traditions and boons. Our whole society here, kindred, it's weird, all right? And when you live as long as some of these things have been around...
Thanks.
Kindred.
When you live as long as they have, money stops mattering. Possessions, you got plenty of time to collect those things. So what really matters are boons. Little favors. Some of them are small. Others... are worth your life.
And some people get very good at using small boons to do large things.
And guys like Shaw happen to be collectors of these kind of life boons. Guys like Shaw own half the city and are willing to do horrible things with these boons.
Voice
so I'm
down.
I'm not inclined to give him another one.
Sure. On the flip side, how much do you want her not to get killed?
Johnny gives a kind of a sad and sorrowful look over at Britta.
She's an unsanctioned progeny, ma'am. Like, the kind of favors you're asking Paul for need a guy like Shaw. That's why I asked you when I first thought about it. How much does it matter to you?
So I agree with Neil. I can't think of anybody else that has it right now that would give it to us right now.
So I'm going to call for a timeout here because I'm coming in a little bit.
Coming in hot. No, I get it.
That's, you know, that's how I go. How much have you been told about what you are?
Not a lot yet.
All right. Maybe do we want to back it up so she has a fucking clue?
Not particularly. I'm mostly waiting to see how things go at this point.
But if she doesn't know what she is, how does she know how to behave?
She is following our lead, mostly.
No. Oh, that's a terrible idea.
Not all of our leads.
Yeah, I was going to say, don't...
Okay, Wynn's right. If she has any chance of making it through tonight, let's just be honest with her.
I'm going to side with Miles, but only because I like to see an even split.
If the obsessive compulsiveness weren't a part of this, what would you go with?
Look, she's going to have to go before the prince. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm saying. And needs to have the wherewithal to do it. And it's easier with ignorance.
Actually, I'm not as a jest. I do kind of agree with Miles. I think information overload can be...
What do you want,
a little
Britta?
Overwhelming. But yeah, personal choice.
I should also mention the fact that it hasn't been brought up yet. She can't remove her anything before... She woke up as a kindred.
So she has... I don't like talking about her like she's not fucking here.
Yes, I understand.
I know, but it is the easiest way to do it.
I can see that.
I'm sorry, I don't remember what happened. I don't remember how any of this came to be, and I barely understand anything about what I am or why I've done the things I've done tonight, and... Look, then, whatever this is, I've been thrown in the deep end here, mm-hmm. Okay?
Yeah.
What will help you swim? What life preserver can we throw you that will help keep you afloat for tonight?
Whatever this is, whatever, I don't understand. All I know is that you all seem to be the only ones trying to help me. So... Look, I want to know what the hell's going on here. I want to understand. I can't help but be curious, but... If I need to talk to the prince, then... Tell me what I need to know, and I guess I'll follow your lead.
Alright, that sounds like a good compromise, right?
Right. I've been filling it in at as short-term notice as I can, but... There is way too much to go over in such a small period of time. I'm keeping it to the things that I thought of necessary right now. And she's not currently going to be part of any kind of boon deal or anything like that, so I hadn't brought the details of that to her yet, or the fact that all this is an exchange.
And how are we going to deal with tomorrow night?
Well,
if she makes it tomorrow night, then we
She's making it to tomorrow
night. I think we've all decided she's making it till tomorrow night.
Well,
so.
Not if we don't get a boon from Shaw.
Kind of the prince's deal.
Right. And I'm not going to war.
Yeah, whoa.
Yeah.
No offense. So that you seem nice. It's more of a... So you want to do this the safe way for the kid? Or you want to...
But yes, it essentially... Somebody would need to be in charge of her new accounting after this point, and we'll see how it goes. If they find the clan, somebody might pick her up. Otherwise...
I vote Miles.
It's on somebody.
Why can't I just... disappear?
Not an option.
I mean, it's totally an option.
It's not an option now.
Because you had the shit luck to be embraced in Camarilla territory and not Anarch.
I'm sorry, what?
Yeah.
Too much. Wrong place, wrong time.
Do I need to know either of those words?
Camarilla is the territory you're in now.
Is it Rhea or Rilla? Like, I was never... It's been 30 years, and I've never been told. And if we're starting her off on a good foot... Neil? If we're starting her off on a good foot, I want her to...
Does not matter right now.
Kinda does.
Let's go with Camarilla.
Camarilla.
Okay, great. So I hope that's helpful and really illuminating for you, Britta.
Look. That's where we're at right now. I've been filling in information. Tomorrow night is a whole different night. We have this night to get through first.
Yeah, and like I said, we've all decided we're getting through it, one way or the other. We're ravidly opposed to Shaw on this side. Are there other options?
No.
Let me at least talk to Weathers. I owe him that.
You already know what he's going to say, though.
Is Weathers one of the good ones?
Yeah.
He doesn't have the pull that Shaw does, and he doesn't like me as much as Shaw does.
Look, Weathers is one of the few kindred still keeping this city together.
I can also talk to Raven about adopting her.
Yeah, but adopting her still means making it through the night. Like,
we need to give her
prince. Do they have the pull that the prince does?
This point is, I owe it to Weathers to ask him if he's got anything that he can do for me before I just go run into Shaw like every other kindred in this city.
If you want to propose that and bring that kind of potential political fallout to Weathers, I mean, that's your... But also, sidestepping it through Shaw means Weathers has his hands clean.
Unfortunately, I can't even talk to the prince since the whole set thing, so... Not on the outs, but not on the in.
Is there a way that we can... Whoever this Weathers person is it just bad if you talk to him, or...?
No, might be a bad idea if you come along. Weathers is the sheriff. Not on New Haven. He's the sheriff of the Camarilla in this city.
So, I mean,
still technically New Haven, but...
Does that clear things up?
The police?
In a sense, yes.
Of us?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
There are rules and order to this, so therefore there are positions to oversee these things.
Look, a few things to keep in mind. You're going to get a whole lot of weird words thrown at you. The number one thing to remember is that there is a agreement that we all have that none of this weirdness leaves these places. That the regular types, the mortals, they don't learn about this stuff. Because it could be bad for all of us.
We keep it covered up.
Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of the rest of the rules can kind of be boiled down to, like, just listen to what everyone else has to say because you're the lowest rung on the totem pole. Is that, I mean, if we're just sort of trying to get the cliff notes, is that...
Mostly.
Keep it quiet, listen to everybody else because you're nothing. That's how it was taught to me.
Hopefully someone will be able to speak up for her when she goes up there, but otherwise she will need to be prepared to speak in front of the prince and in front of the Elysium.
I think Weathers is here tonight, though, and it might not be a bad idea if you come over to say hi to him real quick. He's kind of like me. We're people of our blood. We're part of a clan. Call us the Bruja. We tend to get kind of emotional about things, and sometimes you can pull on our heartstrings, and might not be a bad idea if you were to maybe lay it on a little thick with Weathers. If he can do something for us, that might be the way to do it.
If you're going to talk to Weathers, and clearly you're going to talk to Weathers, unless I'm mistaken and didn't overhear things right, Miles, you got to stick close to her anyways.
Yes.
And I do it sooner rather than later because there is kind of a shot clock on this. I'm not going to say that, you know, Shaw's offer is going to run out, but Prince might decide, hey, now's the time. And if we still have to have those conversations, we're kind of be SOL.
Right.
I'm not trying to be the bad guy here. I just...
Do you know where...
trying to keep things bright.
Weathers is...
Johnny takes a last drag at a cigarette, flicks it off the balcony.
Yeah, let me, hold on. I'm gonna turn around, and there's like a big plate glass looking out onto the thing, and I'm gonna just look in and kind of relax my eyes a little bit and scan around and see if I can see that particular Weathers emotional state kicking around real quick. Where is he?
You're looking around, and it is not long before you see an individual storming through the gathered kindred, headed off in some direction. Looks like he's headed to the office that a lot of the bully boys and the sheriff tend to meet in. He looks flustered, even by his standards.
Oh, there he is right there. The roiling storm cloud of emotions who looks really pissed off.
How else would he look if he's a roiling storm cloud of emotions?
You can be a roiling storm cloud of positive emotions.
Here?
It's not usually where you use the word bro. Anyways, let's move on.
So what are you guys doing? Hold the door open and gesture.
After. Johnny starts striding out first and says, just kind of turns to Britta, follow me.
All right.
And goes heading up towards the sheriff's
should probably
office.
Make sure it's okay for us to go in there, brief him maybe, because it sounds like he's heading towards the sheriff's office, so I think Jane and whatnot is around here too.
As Britta walks past, as I'm holding the door open, just I'm going to lean in real close. Just actually, do not listen to Johnny at all. follow Miles. He's the one you were told to follow, and they get very particular about orders. But if Miles is going that way, it's fine. Just I want it. He sometimes he acts before he thinks.
Britta looks very startled. She listens to Neil with very carefully, and just looks much more confused than she was before. But she mouths the words "thank you."
Great, good. Let's not lean back away from her.
Yeah, I'm the what not to do guide. Just for the record. You see me doing something, you probably shouldn't be doing it.
Thanks, Wynn.
I'm here to help. And Wynn enters the building, where most folks walk through a classy gathering as though they're walking on their high heels in their shiny shoes. Wynn has a tendency to walk like she's stomping ants all the time. And she strides through the crowd and seems to be off in search of someone else.
As you guys are all heading
there?
Yeah.
Britta's are going through. You can hear this cacophony of whispers. You know everyone is talking about you. But you never seem to be able to make out exactly what's being said. It's like all of the individuals here are very talented at whispering about whatever gossip they might want to discuss and avoiding prying ears for the most part.
I try harder to listen. For the past couple hours, sometimes it seemed like my hearing's a bit better.
When you focus on, as you start to head up the stairs, there is one thing that catches your attention. Actually, towards where the group's headed, it looks like they're actually heading towards the conversation that you suddenly find yourself in tune with. There's a conversation between what looks to be this muscular, though a bit older gentleman, this African-American man with a well-trimmed beard. He's got kind of suit on. It's like a suede jacket and this like kind of cream-colored turtleneck. His pants are kind of baggy. He's got these really nice like kind of like smoky gray boots that are on, and he just towers over the other man that he's speaking with. But judging by their body language, it actually looks like the smaller man is in control of the conversation. The smaller man is this diminutive, kind of professor-looking individual. He's carrying a cane, and he's got this tweed jacket on, and these kind of old, dusty old pants on, and these glasses that he keeps adjusting during the course of the conversation. His hair slicked back, his nose is hawkish, and you hear them whispering, but to you, it booms from across the room. And what they are saying is a touch disturbing. The man with the cane looks to Sheriff Weathers and says to him, "The matter regarding the death of the boy has been covered. It would seem that whatever took place was so traumatic that a spirit remained. I've seen to this matter. The boy is resolved. He'll be added to a collection and be put towards good use." The reference to this boy being used as some sort of tool visibly angers Sheriff Weathers, and you can feel this palpable rage grow from him. He glares at Mr. Reese. "Seneschal, with respect, I don't think that boy deserves any of that. And maybe there's something that can be worked out. What can me and the Brujah offer you in exchange for this boy's freedom?" Seneschal Reese gives the sheriff a smirk. "I don't know that there's actually anything you can offer me. And the work that I need done is beyond your reach. But perhaps down the road, if you keep the boy in your thoughts, an opportunity may arise. Until then, be aware that your office has been aided. The haunt that was to be created by the cruel murder of this boy has been resolved, and the masquerade remains intact. You're welcome, Sheriff.
How loud is this discussion? Just her?
It just kind of looks like they're kind of like having this like quick little chat. Okay. And as you guys get closer, that's when you notice something. As the Seneschal, John Rhys, begins to walk away, actually just striding right past the group of you, you recognize the little boy who's walking not three steps behind him, head down, and judging by his very body language, he is not in control of his actions. Again, his body is emaciated. It looks like he died a terrible death. And the rest of your coterie almost practically walks right through the boy as they continue on towards Sheriff Weathers.
Seneschal Rhys, just 1 minute, please. Just hold still for 1 second.
That is a bold request. What do you want?
Oh, nothing from you, just to stand still. That's all. And kind of looks toward Joey. Joey, I'm going to get you out of there. Thank you. That'll be all, Seneschal. Thank you for your time.
It is a cruel thing to give a dead boy false hope.
Well, I already did it, so I'm already cruel.
There you are.
Not as cruel as some.
Come. Boy stammers and follows his master. The rest of the quarterade sees an unusual conversation, and then Seneschal Rhys wanders off.
Picking fights with Rhys now?
That's not smart.
Doesn't have to be smart.
It kind of does.
What were they talking about? The dead boy?
Yeah. He came to me looking for help tonight.
What about a dead boy?
You could hear them from all the way over here?
Neil looks over at Britta and just gives this sort of very piercing, kind of look.
Britta looks back at Neil, looking for some form of anchor. It seems like he understands, so... You didn't hear that. It was...
I wasn't trying to. Has it been a little loud, a little bright for the last couple hours for you?
Sometimes when things are important, it feels like I can hear them better.
Feel the wind on your skin a little too raw?
Well, it seemed like... They were, none of the rest of you, it sounded like they were just talking next to us.
Yeah, it does. It would.
It would?
Tell you what, we were talking about tonight conversations, tomorrow night conversations. This can be a tomorrow night conversation.
Well, regardless of how, I'm sorry.
Brief overview. Being embraced as kindred sometimes comes with powers.
Well, that's a
abilities, weird, that's a fine.
Weird way to put that.
It's true.
It's like a comic book.
It's the simplest explanation.
However any of this works, they were talking about something, covering up a masquerade and covering up something to do with the dead boy being controlled, maybe?
Yeah, so before I came here tonight, little boy came and found me. Little dead boy came and found me in my... Haven said he couldn't remember how to get home. We went into the woods, we found the thing that killed him, we found the crime scene where he had been killed. Okay. And I promised him that we would find a way for him to say goodbye to Mom before he moved on.
What kind of thing?
So that's the fun part. I have it in my fridge, so yes, I did cover up the masquerade breach.
With a fridge?
Yeah.
Nice.
I don't think they were talking about covering up just... I'm sorry, there was something to do with the boy that they were covering up, not just...
Yeah, he was murdered by a person-beast thing. It was a...
Is it a person-beast thing?
Yeah, it was basically like... Very descriptive. It was basically like a...
All too descriptive.
Like skinless. It was...
Had weird human features that weren't supposed to be there.
Yeah.
Looked kind of animal in other ways.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is definitely a tomorrow night conversation. Let's keep this on the wraps and go talk to Weathers now.
Path of Night is an actual play Vampire the Masquerade podcast set in the classic world of darkness. Britta, the unknown new embrace, was played by Rebecca Steigelfest. Johnny Saxon the Bruja was played by Garrett Gabby. Miles Davenport the Ventru was played by Tim Davis. Neil Foster the Malkavian was played by Rob Muirhead. Wynn Cabot the Gangrel was played by Erica Webb. Your storyteller was Lex Lopez, recording by Rebecca Steigelfest. This episode edited by Rob Muirhead. The music used in this episode was January Grunge Love Fest by Technoax. Visit them online at technoax.com, technoax.com. Path of Night uses the 20th Anniversary Edition rule set of Vampire the Masquerade with a few limited house rules. Vampire the Masquerade and the Storyteller System are owned by Paradox Interactive. Make sure to subscribe to us on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. Follow us on Twitter at Path of Night Pod, on Facebook at facebook.com/Path of Night Podcast, or email us at pathofnightpodcast@gmail.com. See you next time, Kindred.
Magic Malkavian eyes.
And the horoscopes.
You're a horoscope.
You can lead a horoscope.
What's a horoscope? It's just a horse on a rifle. It's a horoscope.
Wouldn't it be a scope on a horse?
It's a scope built for a horse, dingus.
Battle of the horse dads.
Not in my splat book, it ain't.
Dressed as Solid Snake.
No, this is Snake.
Snake!
It's horse! That's a weird episode of Mr.
Some kind of cave demon.
All right.